welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at redrock_bball. Facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Email is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. And the as-yet-unnamed YouTube channel, which you can find, obviously, on YouTube. And you can search Red Rock over there. And you can find the links on the website and on the Twitter bio and all that sort of stuff. So check out what's happening over on YouTube. Today, I am back with another season in review podcast. We're getting close to the end. Not many teams left at all. And today, I'm going to be covering the Memphis Grizzlies.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues in the middle of the...
Yes, the Memphis Grizzlies, a team that at the start of the season, a lot of people thought were going to go pretty far in the playoffs. In the end, that they got into the conference semifinals, gave the Warriors a little bit of a scare, but in the end, we're swept aside 4-2 in not really a sweep, but cast aside in that series. They're an odd team. We know that they suffer from a lack of offense, and that does reflect in the fantasy abilities or the fantasy values of their players. There's an elite prospect, not really a prospect at this point, Marc Gasol. There's Mike Conley, who's pretty good. There's Zach Randolph, who's okay. And then it just drops away significantly. So this team is, we know what they're built on. They're built on defense, slowing the pace down, grit and grind, as they like to call it. But that doesn't translate into big fantasy numbers for us fantasy basketball owners. There is still a lot of value in a lot of these players, in particular those three that I mentioned. Let's start off with Mike Conley. And before we get into Conley, there's a question that came through on Twitter, and of course it came through from Barry Baker, who's on Twitter at BarryBaker8664. At what position in my upcoming dynasty draft shall I target Mike Conley? Thanks. Well, Conley last season was the 44th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. I picked him a lot earlier than that. I think he was going inside the top 30. He struggled a lot with a lot of ankle problems. He sprained both his ankles in the same match. I suffered a lot of problems with his ankles, had his minutes decreased from 34 down to 32. He missed 12 games, and overall his output was down. He's only at 15.8 points, down from 17. 6 assists down to 5.4. His steal numbers, which in 2011-12 and 2012-13 were at 2.2, the last two seasons, 1.5, and then 1.3. So we saw a drop-off in a lot of his numbers. And I think that he's a top 50 player. I don't think I've got any doubt about him being a top 50 player. We can see that he was ranked 44th and there was those ankle problems. I think it's going to be hard to judge, but I reckon you might be able to sneak him outside the top 50 in a dynasty draft. He didn't finish the season strong. He was 61st post All-Star break when he only averaged 13.5 points, 5.5 assists, 1.4 steals, 1.3 threes. I think that he can be a guy that you might find fall outside the top 50, and if he gets anywhere close to falling outside the top 50, I'd be taking him. He's not old. There's still a lot of good seasons left on Mike Conley, and last year was definitely affected by injury. And then he had that face problem in the playoffs. So a lot of people's last memories of Conley is a guy who's injured, a guy who's not performing up to the level that he should. So I think that, Barry, if you're looking in a dynasty draft to get Mike Conley, I reckon you can get him later than what his value will be. I reckon you'll get him outside the top 50. I think he's going to be a top 50 guy, but I think you're going to probably find him slide outside the top 50. The backup point guard situation is not ideal in Memphis, from a fantasy point of view anyway. Beno Udrih is probably the pick of the bunch. He only played 19 minutes a game in his 79 games. Almost 3 assists, 7.5 points. He doesn't do much else. Half a steal, 0.3 three-pointers. Now, the 49% is beautiful. So is the 85% from the free-throw line. And when he's given minutes, he can show some decent output. The problem was, when Conley missed, Beno Udrih and Nick Calathes basically split minutes. So using either of them in daily fantasy was a bit of a roulette situation. Standard leagues, they weren't anyone that you needed to add in any 10, 12, 14-team leagues. Udrih's per game value was 228th. So that puts him right down the spectrum in terms of league size. Calathes, I'll say not much better, not better at all. He was 259th in his per game value. He played just 14.5 minutes a game, 4 points, 2.5 assists. He had over a steal a game, which is obviously impressive in only 14 minutes, but just a horrific free throw shooting season from Calathes, 53%. Now, much like Udry, if he gets minutes, he puts up really good numbers and numbers that should be considered useful for all leagues. Now, he's a restricted free agent. I don't know if they bring Calathes back. I guess it depends on, I get how the draft sort of pans out for them, but they do have another point guard on the roster, Russ Smith, who they got across in a trade from the Pelicans. And I actually like Russ Smith quite a bit, so I wouldn't be shocked if Calathes didn't return to this team. But he did show stretches, especially with that defense, that he had the ability to be a fantasy useful player. I just don't think that situation is going to be all that friendly for him next season. Now, Russ Smith, he didn't show really what he could do. 12 games, 5 minutes a game. 2.5 points in 5 minutes, though, is a pretty decent output. 0.7 assists and a pretty standard rookie 32% shooting. He could jump himself into that tertiary point guard role next season, and that means that, you know, he then starts to take on some relevance in very deep leagues, you know, 20, 30 team leagues. But for last season, he didn't even have a place in those. He could start to have a bit of a jump up. You know, we should say his ranking of 430th per game come down relatively significantly. In fact, after the All-Star break, he was a bit better at 317th as well. And that was while he was in Memphis. So definitely a little bit of a better situation for him there. And I do think that he can be there. I liked him coming out of the draft. I like what he did in the D-League. And I wouldn't be shocked if he moves into that third point guard role. And then if Udry misses time, if Conley misses time, we see Smith jump up into an 18-minute a night guy. And that becomes useful. But, you know, any of you standard league guys, I don't think we're going to need to talk about Ross Smith all that much next season. Let's move on to shooting guards. And this was such a yuck position for this team. Let's start with Courtney Lee, who started most of the season, and he started red hot, based a lot on his ridiculous shooting. He was shooting at insane percentages for the start of the season. He cooled off a bit, 45% from the field, 40 from three, 86 from the free throw line, which are all good numbers, but the numbers at the start of the season were much higher than that. He ended up averaging 10 points in 31 minutes, which is not a good return. 1.2 threes, 2.3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. That's good for 166th in per game value, and he was much worse down the stretch. 242nd post All-Star break. He didn't really show us anything until we got to the playoffs, and he started playing really well and turning in really big performances. But it was like a bookend. A great start to the season, a great end to the season, and just garbage in the middle. He did play a lot of games. He played 77 games, and he played 31 minutes, so they do like him playing that role. I just don't like him as a fantasy guy. Overall, for Roto, playing that many games, he was 110th, so that's some value. But in 10 or 12 team leagues, I don't think that he wasn't a guy that you had to own for pretty much all of the season, and he's not going to be a guy that's going to be on the radar for drafts next year. This takes me to a question that I was asked from Mark Kaplan on Twitter, who's at DaTrueGuru. He hasn't asked me a question. It's, is it more of a statement? The Grizz need a scorer like Monte Ellis, not necessarily just a three-point shooter, which they also need, and that's completely true. And there is a gaping hole here at shooting guard for a scorer and a shooter. Do they attract someone like Monte in free agency? Do they go with a different direction in the draft and try and get someone? They drafted a shooting guard last season who they gave barely any minutes to, in Jordan Adams, who I'll talk about soon. But Courtney Lee is not the answer there. And I wouldn't be shocked if they make some sort of change to that position. Lee's value for dynasty leagues is not high. He's just not a good output, a high output fantasy prospect. Other guys on this team who are listed as shooting guard eligible: Tony Allen, who ceded his starting role for portions of the season. He can play the two, he can play the three. And with Jeff Green in town, they sort of moved in and out of the starting lineup. But Tony Allen is, in general, is a better fantasy prospect than Courtney Lee. He was ranked 102nd in per game value, and that's despite playing 5 minutes less per game. He only scores 8.6 points a game, but he gives you the 4.5 rebounds and 2 steals is really where Tony Allen's value is. He also shot 50% from the field, and I use the term shot very loosely because a lot of them were layups, and even then there was quite a few of those missed. But good rebound numbers for a shooting guard, 4.5, and the 2 steals and half a block is where Tony Allen's value is. And down the second half of the season, he was the 79th ranked player post All-Star break because he was going crazy with his steal numbers, and that is exactly why you want Tony Allen. You can put him in as a last pick or a second last pick in the draft, just for that reason, because you just want a guy who's going to give you, you know, he's going to play four games a week and get eight steals. And that is such a bonus for your team. You know, in the last 2 months of the season, he averaged 2.3 steals in 29 minutes. He is a key factor on this team. He is the guy who epitomizes their team mantra. He's all about defense, and he was an all-NBA defender. Let's try that again, an all-defense team member. And that does translate a little bit to fantasy with his ability to get rebounds. The last month of the season, he averaged 7 rebounds a game. That's probably not a realistic target for him, but he could be a 5-rebound, 2-steal-a-game guy. That has value in fantasy leagues. It has value at the end of 12-team leagues. And he can be a real useful guy. We've seen it year after year that down the stretch, Tony Allen is a hot waiver wire commodity because of his ability to get steals. So I've got no problem in taking him in, say, the last round of drafts. Vince Carter, a guy they brought across from Dallas in free agency to try and arrest that issue they have of three-point shooting. Now, he didn't play all that much. He came into the season with an injury. 66 games, but just 17 minutes a game. He still hit a three a game, but it's a big decrease in what he was doing in Dallas. Yeah, he's lost in that mix with Allen, with Lee, with Jeff Green coming across. He just couldn't get on the court. Like, I thought maybe he was going to get 24 minutes a night and go out there and hit 1.5 threes. It didn't happen in that way. He was ranked 342nd in per-game fantasy value. That is obviously not good. Could not get it going. Hit his threes at just 30%. He was a 33% shooter from the field. The injury would have had some impact, but he is a million years old, so I don't expect a huge amount of improvement from Vince Carter. In fact, if anything, his role maybe decreases next season. Maybe. It's a bit of a maybe, but I think that there's a big chance that his role drops a little bit. And that brings me on to a guy who I think is a bit of a sleeper for next season, and that's Jordan Adams. Sure, he was the 382nd ranked player last season. He was a first-round draft choice. He played 30 games in only 8 minutes and averaged 3 points and really not much else. But he did shoot 40% from three. And that is something where I look at and go, not many rookies shoot good percentages. And if you're shooting 40% from three, that's pretty impressive. His per 36 numbers, 13.6 points, 1.5 threes, 4 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 2.3 steals, a block. Yeah, some of those numbers are not realistic, but they're decent enough where I think 14-team leagues, Jordan Adams is someone to take a flyer on. Probably not for standard leagues and dynasty leagues. I think that you got to look what's around these guys. He was there for a reason to score and to shoot, and he's got to compete with Courtney Lee, who's not good, Vince Carter, who's a million years old, Tony Allen, who's got zero offense, and Jeff Green, who was pretty much a disaster. Minutes are going to open up for Adams. He's got to prove that he deserves them, but they're going to open up, and he's in a prime position to take on a bigger role. Whether it's just 20 minutes off the bench, that'll be something where deeper leagues take note, and you get some dynasty league value from him. So he's a guy that I'm really, really interested to see how he develops next season, and there is a big opportunity there for him. Let's talk Jeff Green now, who for the season, you look at what he did, playing 78 games, 32 minutes, and he ranked as the 75th ranked overall player for Roto, 99th overall for head-to-head, but on a per-game basis, 137th, post-All-Star break, and it's basically his time in Memphis, 161st. There was times when he'd go out there and put up a big game, and times when he wouldn't. He still ended up averaging 15 points a game, over a 3, 4 rebounds, 0.7 steals, 43 and 83 is his percentages, so they're not terrible numbers, and I think that he still should be drafted in 12-team leagues next year. In 10-team leagues, I reckon it's probably not the spot for Jeff Green. Now, he does have a player option of $9.2 million. I would assume that he would opt into that and take that. That's a lot of money. I could be wrong. He could opt out to sign for a longer-term deal. I reckon he opts in and signs and plays that one more season in Memphis before becoming an unrestricted free agent. And he also has the excuse of mid-season trade, coming across to a new team, fitting into a new style. And they are calling out for a guy who can be an offensive weapon. And Green could, but he can't do much else. He's not a good defender, but he can be an offensive guy at times. So I'm not completely off him. I think I'm off him for 10-team leagues, but 12-team leagues, I think you still want to have a pretty decent piece of Jeff Green. And taking him in the last round of a 10-team head-to-head league is not the worst decision either. Let's move on to the big men on this team. And we start with Zebo, Zach Randolph, who had a much better season than what I anticipated he would, and there was a number of reasons for that. The biggest reason is his steal numbers. he got himself up to one steal a game, which doesn't sound like much, but up from 0.7, it's a pretty significant jump, because he's a guy who would get you points, he'd get you rebounds, and he'd give you nothing else. So to see his steals jump up, that which is an almost 50% increase, to see his field goal percentage jump up from 47 to 49 is big as well, and his free throws from 74 to 77 is huge also. So we saw a big rise in his fantasy value, 61st in head-to-head per game value, 54th total, 50th in roto value. He averaged 16 and 10 again, so another double-digit rebounding season from Zebo. This is not much else. 0.2 blocks, 2.2 assists. But those percentage, the rise in his percentages and the fact that he got those steal numbers up, which is something we didn't expect from him and we couldn't have possibly foreseen given how poor he'd been at it, just that slight increase was enough to jump him up another 10 or 20 spots in rankings. Where do you look to him next season? Well, he's been a guy traditionally to me that's been overdrafted. Now, if you're in a league that counts double-doubles, he goes probably three rounds higher than this, because he's basically one of the league leaders in double-doubles with this average of over 10 rebounds a game. If you're not in one of those leagues, though, he's a guy that you don't want to pick until about the 70s. Now, I picked him in quite a few leagues last year because I went really small early. And I went with a team that was punting blocks. He's a perfect guy. He gives you rebounds and no blocks. So I jumped on him in the 50s, which is earlier than what I would expect in a normal situation. But I drafted for need in that sort of situation. I need a big man. I need someone to get me bulk rebounds. And he was the only guy available. So I jumped on him early. And that's what the approach you have to take when drafting. But overall, if we're not considering all team build and all that sort of stuff in it, taking him at 60 is probably a round or two too high, even though he came in as the 61st ranked player. The other power forwards on this roster, it's not good to look at, to be honest. John Lua really, really struggled. He played 63 games, 13 minutes, 4.5 points, 3.3 rebounds. Nothing there really stands out in his performance. 400th in per game value. Not a lot to like from him. Jermichael Green ended up on the Grizzlies roster after playing some of the season for the Spurs. He was an undrafted rookie. 7 minutes, 2.6 points, and 2 rebounds. Not a lot else, but some really good percentages, 57 and 80, which is something for him. I don't know if there's a huge amount to like for him moving forward. He's signed for the next two seasons, so the Grizzlies must have seen something in him, but if I'm going to pick one of these young power forwards to go off, if it's going to be Green or John Lua or Jarnell Stokes, the guy I'm going to talk about next, Stokes is the guy. I think that he's got probably the most upside. It shocked me that he dropped down into the second round of the NBA draft. I think he's the guy. If anyone's going to jump up into a bigger role, it's going to be Jarnell Stokes. Now, Stokes played only 18 games, 7 minutes, 3.2 points, 2 rebounds. Very similar numbers to what Jermichael Green did, except he's a really, really poor free throw shooter. But he had a game where he started and he put up massive numbers. And that was something where I went, wow, this is interesting. Post-All-Star break for Jermichael Green, you look at these numbers and you go, what are you talking about, Josh? 126th he was ranked in post-All-Star head-to-head value in per game. Now, it comprised 18 games, but it's... You know what? That number doesn't sound right. I'm going to look at that again. I'm looking at the wrong column. Yep, ignore that. Ignore that completely about Jarnell Stokes, because those numbers do not make any sense at all. Let's try that again. I was actually looking at Jermichael Green's numbers. Jarnell Stokes played 13 minutes in 3 games. 13 minutes average in 3 games after the All-Star break. 8 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.3 steals, 75% field goal percentage. If you look at that in a per 36-minute basis, which is a very small sample size, 23 and 12.5... 3.8 steals, 1.9 blocks. They are some crazy, crazy good numbers. Now, it's extremely small sample size, but I'm just talking about if you're taking a flyer and you want to add it onto the end of your bench in a league that goes 400 players deep, Jarnell Stokes is a guy who could jump up and become a backup behind Randolph, jump ahead of John Lua, jump ahead of Jermichael Green. I think there's a little bit to like with Jarnell Stokes. Another one of the big men on this team, Kosta Koufos, who plays the backup four, he plays the backup five mainly. He's a real player, Kosta Koufos. He's a real decent player, a talented player who, when he's got the opportunity, can put up numbers that all standard league guys need to look at. He averaged 5.2 points, 5.2 rebounds, 0.8 blocks, and half a steal on 51% shooting in 17 minutes, which you bring them up to 30, and we're talking a 10-10 guy with 1.5 blocks. That's pretty good. Now, he's probably not going to get 30 minutes unless Marc Gasol leaves, and then the Grizzlies are in a bit of trouble. But then Kufos becomes a real valuable guy. If you can get him for the cheap in a dynasty league now before Gasol makes a decision, see what you can do, because it could be a situation where Gasol leaves, which doesn't appear, and I don't think it's likely, but it could happen, and then Kufos jumps up into a bigger role. And if Gasol happens to get injured at all, Kufos is ready-made to jump in and play 25 minutes a night and put up some pretty good numbers. I think he's a really good player. I think he's definitely got, I'm not going to say a future in the NBA, but I do think there's a lot to like about him. Now, he ranked just 239th in his per-game value, but that's only in 17 minutes. So we have to look at that. We have to see that, you know, his numbers were pretty good if he were to get more of a starting role. Another guy that the Grizzlies signed during the season, he obviously didn't stick around, though, was Tyrus Thomas, a bit of a blast from the past. We don't need to talk about him. But what we do need to talk about is Marc Gasol and this pending free agency. And a question from SidePrize on Twitter, @SidePrize, is Marc Gasol going to stay in Memphis? If not, where do you see him going? If I had to guess, which I do because you've asked me the question, I would say yes. I think he stays in Memphis. I'd say there's probably a 10% chance that he doesn't. If he does go, I can see him going to San Antonio. I don't think he's going to the Knicks. I don't think he's going to the Lakers. I think San Antonio would be the only place that would make partial sense for him to go, but I just don't see him leaving. I can't see him moving on from Memphis. It just doesn't appear like it's a normal or that it's a viable option. Now, as for his season, he bounced back from an injury-plagued 2013-14 season. He was the 23rd ranked player in head-to-head leagues, which was a pretty good return. Roto leagues for total 11th. Really good. Now, he was a guy who was a top 20 player 2 years ago before the injury plague season last year, and he bounced back 17.5 points, 7.8 rebounds, almost 4 assists, almost a steal, 1.5 blocks, 49 and 80 as his percentages. So that's some great rotisserie value. It's also really good head-to-head value. You know, he's not going to be a guy who ever gets you 10 rebounds a game. He's not going to go out there and throw up 3 blocks a game, but just really solid production all across the board for Marc Gasol. Now, he slowed down a bit in the second half of the season, 41st in post-All-Star value. I've got no problem taking him at the end of the second round, and definitely he should not escape the third round in drafts moving forward. And it doesn't matter, even if he does leave Memphis, I don't see his numbers really changing. In fact, if he goes anywhere else apart from Memphis, they might get a slight uptick. There's no way he's going to be worse than what he is in Memphis, wherever he goes. So I think that investing in Marc Gasol is a very solid prospect. And yeah, he's a top 20 sort of player. He could be a top 20. Let's rephrase that. He could be a top 20 player. I don't think you draft him in the top 20. You look at him at 23, 24, and then somewhere in that third round range, in the top 30, top 35 is the right spot for him. But he can be a guy that, again, depending on your league format as well, in a roto league, he's a top 15 type of talent, because he's one of the more perfect roto centers that are out there. All right, that does it for this podcast. A little bit of a mix-up in the middle there with the Jermichael Green, Jarnell Stokes stuff, but the Grizzlies are interesting. There is a massive need for a scorer, massive need for offense. Jordan Adams is my dark horse guy to jump up and have a bit of an impact for this team. Conley's going to have a bounce back. Gasol likely stays, and Randolph, if anything, has a little bit of a decline in his production. Don't forget, again, check out the videos going up on YouTube daily at the moment. Going to have obviously more of these podcasts coming to we get through all 30 teams. Hope you're enjoying the NBA finals as they're going on at the moment. Leave a review on iTunes and subscribe on iTunes. That's always much appreciated if you do that. It really helps the show get noticed, and that's what I want anyway. I want the show to get out there to as many people as possible. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.